are all coming together to speak about very important matters regarding the Inyan of Kiruv. And we want to, first of all, give a big yeshu koyach to Rav Ari Tabak for initiating this program. We last week's parasha that we just read, it talks about Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, returning a lost object to the owner. So the Mefarshim explain the Derech Rush, that in the same way we must return lost objects to the owner, in the same way we must do what we can to return Jewish people back to their owner, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Chaim already hints to this, and the Chasam Sofer explains the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says regarding the Aveda, so it says over there that if you see a lost object, v'salamta behem, don't pretend that you don't see. And im le'karav achicha alecha v'lo yedata, and even if your brother is not close, in other words, even if you know that he's very far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's still hope. V'havei so'el toich be'secha, you should bring him into your home. Last week's parsha. Exactly. Devarim in Yonah D'Yoma. Right? And one should be makarav him and teach him adroi shechicho isayim. You should teach him until then he can do it on his own. It's an interesting idea. You should try to get a person closer until he takes it on his own. You know, you bring him to a stage that now he'll go further and further. He himself is going to be explore HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, of returning a person to himself. We want to go into the Inyan of Kiruv and the Inyan of Tinik Shenishba, and then some practical questions regarding that come up when it comes to dealing of relationships with people who are not religious. So we have the concept of Tinik Shenishba. Tinik Shenishba. This is all sheets. We'll try to go in the order. Tinik Shenishba. So where do we find Tinik Shenishba? So nice, in the Gemara we find Tinik Shenishba, that you have a Jewish child, doesn't even know he's Jewish, and he's growing up amongst Goyim. He's growing up amongst non-Jews. The Gemara brings this down in the seventh Perek of Shabbos, Klal Golom, where it speaks over there about a person who's a Shoygeg has to bring a Korban. But if a person is a Tinik Shenishba, so he doesn't know anything about Yiddishkeit, he doesn't have to bring a korban. He's an onus. Onus means that he doesn't know anything. He's not keeping Shabbos. It's an onus. It's extenuating circumstances, and therefore a person is not guilty if he does something wrong under extenuating circumstances. So the discussion of Tinik Shenishba is something which is very important, and throughout the ages already this became a question. And the reason why it's a very, very big question is because of the din of the Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person is Mechalel Shabbos Befarhesia, he publicly violates the Shabbos. He violates the Shabbos in front of many Jews, so he has a din ka'akum. He has a din like a non-Jew, meaning that just like there's a din of Yayin Nesach, that we don't drink wine that is handled by non-Jews, so the same thing would be with this person, would make it Yayin Nesach. Also, Bishalakim. If such a person who is publicly desecrating Shabbos, he has a din like a Akum. And therefore, the same thing would apply to Bishalakim. Anything that he cooks, which would be prohibited by a non-Jew, would also be prohibited if he cooks it. The reason is because if a person is machal Shabbos b'farhesia, he is publicly desecrating Shabbos, it is a rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he has a din ka'akum, he has a din like a guy. When we say din ka'akum, it doesn't mean he's a guy. It doesn't mean that now he is mamish a guy. That's not what it means. But like ka'akum, when it comes to these laws, he's like a guy. He's still Jewish. But when Dine Ka'akum, concerning these laws. So therefore, the question arose during the ages with regards to Jews, that of being Machal Shabbos, Befarhesia, publicly. So what is going to be the law concerning these kinds of situations? So the Rambam already speaks about this. The first quote over here, the Rambam says over here that Bamed Vormurim Bishir Kafir B'Toyer Shabal Peb Machshavte B'Dvarim Shinur Loi V'Holach Achar Daitei Hakala V'Achar Shvivus Liboy V'Kafir B'Toyer Shabal Peb Tchila K'Tzadik U'Baisis V'Chein Kol Atoyim Acharov. We had a sect of people who are the Tzedukim, the Baisusim, that we come across them in the Gemara, and they turned away and they rejected all of Torah Shabal Peh. So they have a din ka'akum, they have a din like goyim. Avul b'nei ha'toyim e'ela b'nei b'neim she'edichu eisam avaisum v'noldu b'nei ha'karayim v'godlu eisam alzaitam. But their children and grandchildren, and those that were brought up amongst the Karaites. The Karaites were also people that rejected the oral law. But you have their children and their grandchildren, and they grew up amongst this sect, Karaite sect, Hariu Kitinik Shanishba Beinaya. So those children are like a Tinik Shanishba Begodlu, Veinazoris Lechus Badarka and Mitzvah Shraika Onus. He's not performing the mitzvahs because he's honest. It's unlike under duress. The Afal Pi Shashoma Achakach. Now this is very important. Shehu Yehudi, v'ra Yehudim edaitam areko onus v'reikidlu al te'usam. The Rambam says that even though afterwards he comes into contact with other Jews, and he sees that there are other Jews, you know, and he sees that these other Jews are keeping mitzvahs, but nevertheless, since he was raised with the mistake, he has a din of a tinik shenishba. And the Rambam ends up, it is fitting to bring them back in tshuva, ulamashcham b'divrei shalom, and to draw them near with words of peace, atshiyatsur le'eson ha-Torah, till they will return to the eson Torah, to the strength of the Torah. The language of the Rambam, the beautiful language of the Rambam, is used, this kind of language, by many later on, who encourage us that we should not consider these Jews as being lost and consider that there's no way that they'll ever come back, but it is fitting lachziram b'tshuva, how? L'moshcham b'divrei shalom, to draw them near with words of peace. We have to draw them near, not with condemnation, but with words of peace.
Interesting word, ra'ui. It's not chayev.
Ra'ui.
It's fitting.
It is fitting. It is fitting. Okay.
So you don't have to adar achil.
Okay, you want to be medayik? Well, let's see what others say. So we have over here a concept of tinik shenishba. The Rambam says that you had the karayim, and the Rambam says that their children, grandchildren, they were brought up in this group, and they didn't know nothing about real Yiddishkeit, they didn't know anything about Torah Shabbal Peh. So since they were brought up this way, this is the way in which they were taught. They don't know any better, so even if they don't do right, they're not guilty. And we have to try to be machzer them b'tshuva. So the Klal Yisrael, you know, as things went on in history, Klal Yisrael carrying on, and the majority of the Jewish people are keeping Torah mitzvahs, especially in Europe and in the Sfaradi, strong Sfaradi communities. Klal Yisrael keeping Torah mitzvahs. There are always people that are not, you know, there are always people that are not. That seems to always have been. If you see in the Gemara, you always see people that were not keeping Torah mitzvahs. They say a vart, you know what a tzibur is? Tzibur, yeah? Tzibur stands for tzaddikim, beinonim, and rishayim. Mm-hmm. You know? That's all part of it. So, but Rubai Verubai, I mean, the great majority of Yidden was shomrei Torah mitzvahs. Until it came the emancipation and the enlightenment in the 1700s, and the reform movement came along on the scene, and terrible inroads started encroaching within the tzibur of people, Torah mitzvahs, and Yiddishkeit started to becoming weakening. The late 1700s, the early 1800s, or the reform movement. And there was a terrible, terrible danger to the future of Klal Yisrael, to the future of Torah mitzvahs. And there was a big, big battle going on of great Torah giants who led the battle against these reformers, Sam Sefer, Rav Shem Shlomo Fol Hirsch, the Malbim, and others. But there's a big, big battle going on, and a lot of people are leaving Torah and mitzvahs. And now you have a situation where you have Yidden who are being Mechal Shabbos before Hesia. And what is the halacha concerning these people? So one of the most important tshuvas, which is quoted by all of the poskim that deal with the issue of Tinik Shenishba, is the next tshuva over here, from Shailas to Tshuvas Binyan Siyan. You have to know, Shailas to Tshuvas Binyan Siyan is Rav Yaakov Etlinger, who was the Orach Laner. Those of you who've learned Gemara, you've come across the great Orach Laner. He is the author of Orach Laner, amazing pirish on a number of Masechtos. And he was a German Rav. And I believe in the early days he was a Rebbe of Rav Shem Shlomo Fol Hirsch. You can imagine what a person he was. And he is now addressing this question of what is the din with these people who are Mechal Shabbos? What is the din with their wine? What is the din with their cooking? So in this tshuva, he has asked this question. Mamish, this question, somebody asks him whether the wine is forbidden by these people. So in the midst of this tshuva, he says, yes, definitely this is halach, that a person is mechal Shabbos before Hesia, is rejecting Torah, is rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's to be treated in these areas ka'akum. But then he writes over here in the middle of this tshuva, he says, until now I've been speaking about Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. Avol Poisha Yisrael Shem is my name. But what about the Poisha Yisrael nowadays? Lo Yadanim Odom Bim. I do not know how we're going to judge them. Achash Shabbos Ben Yisrael Aram Posab Eres Laroiv. He says that this plague is spreading to so many people. He says now, Chil Shabbos has become like a permissible thing. And therefore, it's becoming permissible. And then he goes on to say that Mechal Shabbos is considered to be a mu'mer, because somebody who's kaifer in Shabbos is kaifer in the Bria. When a person until now would be kaifer in Shabbos, he would be a kfir in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not keeping Shabbos. It was a statement. I don't believe in God. I don't believe God created the world. However, this guy, who comes along, so he's not mamish kofer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And you have people that he says over here that they make Kiddush Friday night. So they're not kofer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Roiv HaPoishim Shibiz Manein Uloi Portsu. Most of the people nowadays, they're not rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not pirates in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So can we consider them to be in the same status as they used to be? Those are the Mechal Shabbos that they used to be. So he writes over here in the end, Lanias Daiti, if you want to be Machmir, you can be Machmir. Okay, it's a question. However, also those that are lenient, they have whom to rely on. Unless you know for sure that this guy goes out of his way to be Mechal Shabbos in front of 10 people, then he's a Mumma Gomer. So, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger over here now brings up this Svara, that there's a difference between those that used to be Mechal Shabbos and now Mechal Shabbos. The Chil Shabbos right now is not definitely a rejection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are many other tshuvas later on. One of them is from the great Malame Lahoyel, who's also a great Rav in Jibriti, who quotes the Shoyal Umeshiv, who says that in America, people are being Mechal Shabbos, not because they reject the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not because they deny Hashem, but because of Parnasa reasons. They can't get Parnasa if they don't keep Shabbos. They still believe in Hashem. They still keep Shabbos to a certain degree, but they're Mechal Shabbos. They don't, because they go to work, because they can't find Parnasa. It's very hard to find Parnasa if, and therefore, he also says that we don't consider them to be Ka'akum, because the Chilul Shabbos is not coming as a denial of Hashem, but it is for other reasons that are leading them away from keeping Shabbos. It's not a rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we have over here opinions that they could enter into the realm of Tinik Shenishba. There are many truths about this. And there is an important Chazoinish who adds another dimension to this issue. And this is relating to the issue of being meichiach people, rebuking people, giving teichacha to people. And there's a mitzvah, bechech techech samisecha. You have to give him rebuke. And we find in the Gemara that the Gemara speaks about if you see somebody does an Avera, so then there's a mitzvah, there's a din that he's like a Rasha, right? And you have to be Sayne, you have to hate him. He's a Rasha. So how does that apply? What are the parameters of that? And does that apply nowadays? So, first of all, I want you to see here, on the next page, a quote from the Tanya, the Likutei Amorim. The Tanya, in his Sefer, which is a Sefer of Chassidus, of course, and Hashkafa, but in Perek Lamed Beis, he discusses over here the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, of loving another Jew. And he says as follows, Mashakosa bi Gemara. And that's what it says in the Gemara. Shemisha roba chaveiro shechota. If somebody sees his friend has sinned, mitzvah l'sanoso, it's a mitzvah to hate him. V'gam loymer the rabbi sheyisneyu, and to tell his Rebbe, his teacher, that he should hate him. right? Those were the good old days when the guy who was Chayte still had a Rebbe, you know? I don't think that's so negay nowadays. Hainu b'chaveira b'toira. Listen to this. This is his colleague, one of his chaverim in Toira. You know, what are your chaverim? And he, as they say nowadays, has gone off the derech, you know? Okay? What are your chaverim? You know, you went to yeshiva together with him. You were in Panovich with him. You know, and he's off the derech. So, ukvar kiyam by mitzvah. So you can imagine, you were together in yeshiva, you learned together with him in yeshiva, and now you're here 2 years down the line, he's not keeping Shabbos, you know, he's an Amish. So, he's your old chaver, you know. So, of course, you call him up and you say, hey, Yankel, what's going on with you? You know, we learned all the Masechtas Kedushin together. We were steiging away in the center program for 2 years. And now on Shabbos, you're draying around the chveis to who knows where. What's going on over here? You go over, you mechiach him. He's your chaver. You give him teichacha. And you rebuke him. So you are makayim haichich techiz amisecha. Im she'itcha b'toyer mitzvahs. V'yafo became like shav mecheta. And even after you gave him teichacha, you rebuked him, well, he doesn't change. So such a guy, the Gemara is talking about. Gemara is talking about a guy that, you know, was chaveroi, hechich techich samisecha. Samisecha means that he was keeping Torah mitzvahs, and he's a chaver of yours. So you go over and you give him a teichacha, and he still doesn't listen. So here, mitzvah is anoise. It's a mitzvah to hate him. Avol mi she'enu chaveroi. Someone is not his friend. Ve'enu makurav etzlo. Okay? Someone that's not your friend, or someone that's not very close to you. Right? You know, you're walking back home from shul on Friday night, and you see a guy driving. You know? We're not talking about such a guy. See a guy driving. You see a guy eating tray for a restaurant. You walk by a restaurant, you know. You're going in Norwood to the kosher restaurant. There's a whole bunch of tray for restaurants there. And you see a sitting there. You know, a Jewish guy, you know. You don't know him. The guy, you're not friendly with him. You're not close with him. So, Alzeh Omar, and this guy, Hilazokain, Habemi Talmid of Shalara. On this, it is said, what, you should be a student of Aaron. Oyev Shalom, to love peace. Oyev Sabriyais, to love the people, Mekarvam le Torah, and bring them close to Torah. Loimar, Sha'af Arachaykim Etarv Zashem Avidasam. Even though this person is very far from the Torah of God and his service, L'chein Nekroim Hashem Briyais B'Alma, beautiful. We've learned this Mishnah many times. Hillel says, right? Oyevis abriyois. Why does he say oyevis abriyois? Doesn't say oyevis ayehudim. Oyevis noshim. Briyois. Because they're far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they're only called briyois. Briyois ba'alma. They're creatures. They're far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they're called briyois. But even though Ayvis a priyos, I'm a carver in the Torah after bringing them close to the Torah. Talking about mashcham bechavle avoysay sahava. You have to draw them with ropes, thick ropes of love. For kulahai, and more. For ulai yuchal a carver in the Torah. Maybe you'll be able to be a carver in the Torah by Vedis Hashem. For hein loy, and let's say you're not successful. You invite the guy over, be nice to him, you speak to him nicely, speak to him, you tell him, you know, maybe come to shul, come, let's learn, and, you know, you try. Try to be Makar of a year to Torah. And you were not successful. You have not lost the mitzvah of loving a yid. So it's very important, you know. Sometimes we're not successful, maybe we're trying. But at the end of the day, if we were friendly and we were nice, we were kind of mitzvah. We try to be mekarev in the Torah. There's no greater ava than that. But the important nekuda that Baal Tanya is making over here is a big mistake that we have. Is that the only way the Gemara is talking about that you have a mitzvah to hate a yid because he's not keeping Torah mitzvahs, that's only after you are mechiachim. That's only after you are mechiachim. And it's only somebody that you could be mechiach. That you could rebuke, admonish, reprove. Okay? You got it?
Thank you.
I don't know Spanish, I say.
Thank you.
So, but stam a yid that's around you, so you can't be, you're not mechiachim. You can't be mechiachim because you don't know him. And therefore, since it's pre-teichacha, so there's no mitzvah of l'sanoisim. That's number one. Number two, you try. To be mekarev a yid is a great thing. If you're successful, mekarev l'Torah. What an amazing mitzvah you've done. And if not, you've also done an amazing mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael. And those people that are close to him, and he rebuked them, and they didn't change their ways, so you have a mitzvah to hate them. Mitzvah lahavim gamkei. See, when our chachamim say there's a mitzvah to hate, there's also a mitzvah to love. Okay? Shteim heim emes. So this is a very big chiddush, a psychological chiddush. You know, that you can have a person, you hate him and you love him. Both. How could that be? Right? Shteim heim emes. Sino mitzad harasha behem. When we say we hate them, we don't hate them. They're yidden. But we hate them. What's going on with you? We went to yeshiva together. We have the mashgiach. We were studying together, and now you're flaming chal Shabbos. So there's a hatred to what he's doing. But there's a love because of the good that's in him. He's a yid. There's good in him. And therefore, at the same time, there's Ava. And as he says later on, we have to have Rachmanis. This is already a big madrega, Rabbi Isai, that when you see Yid Nebuch, you have to have Rachmanis on the neshama that's inside of them, that's locked up in the guf, which is doing all these other things. And we have to be Ma'ira Rachamim. We have to be Mespalot Hashem, that he should awaken the Yidin to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've mentioned it before, and we don't think about it, but when we daven for our children to be good in Torah, right, in every day in Berachos HaTorah, so what do we say? V'nei anachnu v'tzetzeinu, v'tzetzein kol amcha beis Yisrael, yoydei shmecha v'loimdei toisecha l'shma. So, we actually should, I think it's a good time to remember, we've mispalat Hashem. It's in the Nusach. We're not only for our kids and our grandchildren and our descendants, but for Tzetzei Kol Amcha Beis Yisrael. We should be thinking of everybody else. Okay. But the Yisai that we learned over here is that there's no din to hate a yid unless you've given him Teichacha. And you can only give Teichacha to someone who's close to you. That's what the Baal Tanya is saying. He's not close to you, I'm going to give the chach. Go ahead and rebuke the guy. You know, you haven't called me up. You know, I'm your next door neighbor. And you haven't said hello to me for 10 years. And now one day I go ahead and you see me, you're driving, he starts screaming at me. You get close to the guy. You have a relationship with the guy. You're in business with the guy. You talk with each other every day. You have a cup of coffee together. Yeah. maybe you can, you know, you could start maybe giving teichacha. Okay, can we give teichacha nowadays or not to anyone? So here we come to the big chiddush of the Chazon Ish, where the Chazon Ish, I have a number of quotes over here from the Chazon Ish, but the one that I want you to see over here is the last one on the next page, where the Chazon Ish is dealing with this whole question of mumber, people that are kaifer. So the Rambam quotes this, the Chazon Ish quotes the Rambam that we brought down. You'll take a look and you'll see. And then he brings down, this is towards the middle of the Chazon Ish. Uvagoyz amaymini perikvav milchus deis kosev dein rishoyin lesanoisai ela achar sheinu mekabal teichocha. Mamish to Tanya, huh? Nice to see Chazon Ish and Tanya on the same page, huh? Dein rishoyin lesanoisai, you're not allowed to hate him, ela achar sheinu mekabal teichocha. You're not allowed to hate a yid because he's doing aveiros only after he received teichocha, after he was rebuked. The safe safe Rav Eschess is because of Shema Gri Molin to mitzvah levis or rishayim. My time, there's a mitzvah to love the rishayim nowadays. Maybe came in Shuvas Maram Lublin. He had slain who cut him techacha. Because every yid that's doing averes, it's before he's rebuked. She ain on uyoidim lohechiach. We don't know how to give techacha. V'dainin luk anusim, and therefore they all look like anusim. They're like anusim. They're people that are extenuating circumstances. So therefore, when it comes to all the halachas, that there's a difference between a yid that's a mummer and not, but we don't have that din mummer nowadays because of the fact that he only can get a din of a mummer if we're meichiach him, and we can't be meichiach nowadays. The Chazon Ish writes in another place, we can't be meichiach nowadays. You go over a guy and you say, it's wrong what you're doing. What is wrong what you're doing? What are you talking about? Everybody's doing it. You can't be meichiach. We don't have Nevi'im, we don't have prophecies. So therefore there's no teichach. There's no teichacha, then there can't be any din of sinner. Very important, the good. So we learn from over here that we can't consider to be people mumarim. Look, there's a lot of discussion about people, tinik shenishba, you know. But many, many say that if you have children that were brought up in their young life and they went to secular schools and they were not given a Torah education, their whole attitude, therefore, is one that we cannot expect them to be considered doing what they're doing wrong as intentionally in any way. And even though there are other Jews around that are religious Jews that they might see and they might hear, but the fact that they've been under such a strong influence of the majority of people that are not religious and their upbringing has been such, we can view them as a tinik shenishba. This is an opinion, quite a strong, predominant opinion that we find amongst many of the paiskim. Rav Moshe has a tshuva over here about having a minyan in a conservative shul. So Rav Moshe says, definitely not. Don't have a minyan in a conservative shul or a reform shul. And Rav Moshe says over here something which is so, so wise, which I think has been very much a direction for all of those that have been trying to be machzor people b'tshuva. Rav Moshe says over here in the middle of this tshuva, Igros Moshe Rechaim Chelik Dalit Simen Tzadik Aleph, Masha Kosov Rambam, our Rambam that we saw, Sharoyul Achzirim Betshuva, that it's fitting to bring them back, Betshuva L'moshkom B'divrei Shalom HaChiyach Z'Releison HaTayra, Lo'ishayach Zeh B'mokom Kibbut Shalahem. That that the Rambam said, you're going to bring people back to Tshuva, that's not Shayach in their places of gathering. Shehuba Beis HaKnesses Shalahem, Shehein HaMokom Royul Zeh. To go ahead and make a kiruv minyan and be makariv people in a conservative shul, says Rav Moshe, it's not going to work. It's not the proper place for it, and people are not fitting for it. The whole makom is a makom that is a kfira in Hashem, and therefore that is not the proper makom to go ahead to do it. And I think what we've seen is that we want to be Makarv people. It has to be where we are in charge, that we are in control. So to speak, it's on our turf. It's on the turf of Shemir Torah Mitzvahs, and we bring people in. But to go into their turf and think that you're going to go ahead and change it, that is not going to work. Aval Eilu Batim Knesset Shul Orthodoxim. But he says Orthodox Shuls. She'enam Karoyu. You might have an Orthodox shul, but they're not doing everything properly. Like they don't have a mechitza. That is a proper mechitza. They have a mechitza, but not a proper mechitza. So they're called Orthodox. Orthodox shul. But it's not, you know, proper. Or even if they're using a microphone, einom choifrim, but they're not choifrim. They're not deniers. And therefore, you could go ahead and take a room in that shul and use it for kiruv. That's what Rav Moshe says over here. Okay, it's an important nekuda. We have got a little bit more than I thought when we were saying it. We could spend hours and hours, but we want to go to two big guys over here. Halacha l'maisa that come up. Inviting someone who will drive on Shabbos and serving food to someone who won't make a bracha. What's the time? 5:59?
5:29.
What? 5:29. Okay. So, in serving food to someone who won't make a bracha. So, it's very important just to know the parameters over here of the question. What is the shayla? There's a lot of shaylas that come up when it comes to, as we want to be friendly to somebody, we want to show respect to somebody and honor somebody, and we want to have them over for a meal, and then the problem is that, but they're not, they don't know, they don't know how to make a bracha. Can you serve them food if they're not going to make a bracha? Can you serve them, have a meal, and they're not going to wash? These kind of questions. They're not going to bench. They have people over, comes to benching, they're not going to bench. Yeah, they don't know the bracha. So, what's the din? So first of all, what's the parameters over here? What are we dealing with? What's the question? So the question over here that we have on the sheet is Loisakal Khirishul Tnaiv Lysitim Mikshul Virasim Lakhani Hashem. The Lot Zitain Mikshul. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. You're not allowed to assist the person to do an Aveira. If you have a classic example of the Gemara, you have a Nazir, you have a person who's a Nazir and he wants to drink wine, you're not allowed to give him wine. This, the law even applies with a guy, by the way. The Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Nayach, also the Gemara says, a guy is not allowed to eat a limb from a live animal, you're not allowed to give a from an achai to a guy. So there's the Isser of the Tnayiv Alei Sitein Mikshol. And the Rambam says that you're not allowed to give something which is forbidden to a Jew. You're over on the Fnei Iver Laisitain Mikshal. The Gemara says over here in Mesechtas Avodah Zarah, the third item here, Davav Amibes, Minay Shle Yoshel Adam Kaishal Na Yayin Lenazar, Ve'evim Menachayda B'nei Noach, Tamalem the B'nei Iver Laisitain Mikshal. How do I know I can't give a cup of wine to a Nazir and I can't give Eva Menachai to a Ben Noach? It says of Naivel Esitain Mitchell. For Hacha, the Chiloy Avinu Le Shakla Iyu, because of Mishal of Naivel Esitain Mitchell, Hacha Maeskin is the Koyvich Reiva the Nara. Take a Nami, the Tunu Le Yashit, like a Tunu Le Yitain. Says the Gemara, but if you don't give it to him, he's going to be able to take it anyhow. He's over the Naivel Esitain Mitchell. If I have a bottle of wine and there's another bottle of wine there, if I don't give him the bottle of wine, then he'll take the other bottle of wine. They can argue if they see the mikshal. Where's the mikshal? He's gonna eat it anyhow. So the Gemara says to Koibitri River Dinara. It's talking about two sides of the river. He's on one side of the river, I'm on the other side of the river, the bottle's with me. If I don't give him the wine, he won't have any wine. He's a Nazir. He's not allowed to drink wine. So then we're able to Fnei Iver Laisitain Mikshal. But if he can do it anyhow, there's no Isser of Fnei Iver Laisitain Mikshal. If you give something not kosher to a Yid, but it is accessible, he can get it someplace else, so then it's not the Isser of Lefnei Iver Laisitain Mikshal. So here we have a Taisvis where Taisvis says something very, very important. Everybody remembers the story in the beginning of Shabbos where you have the poor person is outside and the balabas is inside. And the Mishnah illustrates all the various halachas of taking an object from one rishus and giving it to another rishus, from rishus harabim to rishus hayachid, from rishus hayachid to rishus harabim. And if the person stretches his hands inside, I'm just holding it, and he stretches his hands inside, and he takes it out, I'm not over anything, right? I'm not over anything. The poor man wants some bread on Shabbos, and he stretches his hands into, and he takes it from my hand, and he takes it outside. So then I'm not over anything. Fractisvis, but what about Lefnei Iver Laisitain Mikshal? Why does the Mishnah say the guy inside is potter? He's over Lefnei Iver Laisitain Mikshal. He's doing a mikshal over here. He's allowing this ani over here to be Mechal Shabbos. So Taisvis says, and even if you'll say that it's talking about that he could have taken it anyway, the bread is there and he could have taken it anyway, they are not over Lefnei Iver Laisitain Mikshal like we learned in Nazir. There's still an Issa Drabbanan, Shechayv Lafrisha Meyissa. So Taisvis over here says that even though there's no Issa Daraisa, but if you assist a guy and doing an Aveira, even though he can do it anyway, but still, it's no better than being mafreshim from an Issa. You try to separate a guy from doing an Issa. So if you help him, even if he could do it anyway, there's still an Issa Drabana. So there's an Issa Daraisa if he couldn't do the Issa without you. There's an Issa Drabanan if you are helping him do the Issa. Okay? So, regarding holding this, do we hold like this? I quoted over here from the Magen Avraham, that the Magen Avraham says there is an Issa Drabanan to be Misayeya, someone Lidvar Aveira. There is an Issa Drabanan. So this question over here about inviting somebody into your home and then serving him food and he's not going to make a bracha, so l'chayra, we have over here a question of Lefnei Iver Laisitain Mikshal. We have over here a question of Misayei L'dvar Aveira. So in the Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, Hilchus Netilas Yadayim, Simin Kuf Samek Gimel Siv Beis, quoted over here, Hama'achil La'achayim Ein Tzorach Netilas Yadayim, Ve'echol Tzorach Netilas Yadayim. Afa Bishach Anoisim L'teich Bivi Ein Negev B'machol, V'udin L'echol B'magrefa, Shetzorach Netilas Yadayim. If I'm feeding you, you still have to wash your hands. I don't have to wash my hands, but you have to wash your hands. If you're feeding someone who can't eat by themselves, so you feed them, so the person who is eating still should wash his hands. The person who's feeding them does not have to wash his hands. Comes along the mechaber and says, you're not allowed to give someone food if you didn't wash his hands. So we see that there is a din of to give food to somebody and he's not going to wash his hands. So there's isl of naivale sita mitchel. Right? There is another halacha. I did not quote it over here. In Simen Kuf Samech Tes. Interesting. Hilchas Suda. In Simen Kuf Samech Tes. So we find that the Shulchan Aruch brings down Lo Yitain Lo Echol Mishita Abai Shivarak. Shulchan Aruch Mechaber, Simen Kuf Samech Tes. It's not in the sheet, you can be mitzayin it. Kuf Samech Tes Siv Beis. Lo Yitain Lo Echol, shouldn't give to eat, Elumi Shita Abai Shivarak. Somebody comes to my house, he's not going to make a bracha, don't give him to eat. If naive, they see to him, Echol. There are those that are lenient if the guy is a poor guy. He's a poor man. Guy, poor man comes into your house, you know, you invite him in, you want to give him a meal. He doesn't have what to eat. So then you could give it to him, even though he won't make a brach. Even though he won't make a brach. So what's the pshat? Why? Why is this allowed? So the Mishnah Berurah says over here, because you have a mitzvah of tzedakah. So we don't remove the mitzvah of tzedakah because maybe he won't make a bracha. We said before differently, that's only when it's not b'toris tzedakah. Now here comes very important. Mishnah Berurah says, maybe, we're not sure if he'll make a bracha or not. If you're not sure he'll make a bracha or not, so then you can't give it to him, even if he's poor. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, if he knows for sure he won't make a bracha, he can't give it to him, even as tzedakah. But that's only he dafka doesn't make a bracha. He's my guy that I learned in Panovich with. I haven't yet managed to get him to make brachas. So him, even now, even though he's hungry, I don't give it to him. But the guy doesn't know. He doesn't know how to make a bracha. Le'nifka mitzvah tzedakah v'shulzeh. Paskins, the Mishnah Berurah, big chiddush over here, that if you have a hungry man and you have a mitzvah of tzedakah to feed him, but he doesn't know how to make a bracha, yeah, he doesn't know how to make a bracha. They didn't teach him when he was young. He doesn't know how to make a bracha. I'll tell you a ma'aseh. My early days over here, you know. It's the first chasana that I ever did. So it comes to giving a bracha to the kala. So I asked the tata, give a bracha, you know. And I just came from Yerushalayim, you know, you give a bracha, you know. So he looks at me, you know, like, you know, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. He said, Rabbi, what? I said, give a bracha, you know, give your daughter a bracha, you know. So he said, Baruch Atah Hashem, L'keinu Melech Ha'ilom, Shehakol Nehyeh B'Dvarei. Good bracha, huh? Okay, he knew the bracha, okay? He knew Shehakol. But we know people don't know brachas. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here that if the person is hungry, So then you may give him to eat even though he won't make a bracha, because there's a mitzvah of tzedakah, and because of the fact that he doesn't know, it's okay. So we have over here a tremendous chiddush from the Mishnah Berurah. There's no issel of na'ivul ha'sitei michshel if the reason why he's not, he is because he doesn't know. That nazir knows that he's not supposed to drink wine, and he's chalashing for wine, but he knows that he can't drink wine. That yid who wants to have treif, he knows he shouldn't have treif. So you can't give him treif. But if the guy doesn't know the bracha, but if he's hungry. Now Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. This is Rav Moshe. The tshuva over here is on this Mishnah Berurah that I quoted here, the Mishnah I quoted. And Rav Moshe has all tshuva. Rav Moshe says, I don't understand why there's no lefnei iver. Even the guy doesn't know. And Rav Moshe disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah, but here you have the beautiful lashon of the Rav Moshe in the end. When you learn the tshuvas of these great, great Rabbanim, you see what cover they had for each other. So Rav Moshe writes at the end over here, I don't agree with this Mishnah Berurah, because I don't understand why there's no lefnei iver over here. But nevertheless, he says, if you want to be mekel, so then you could follow the Mishnah Berurah, because he's moran to doiris basroi by rois dinyani orechai. He is the final psak when it comes to orechai. Rav Moshe writes this at the end. So he says over here, you could rely on the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying something over here, a very important chiddush. Mishnah Berurah is saying over here that if a guy doesn't know, then there wouldn't be a lefnei iver. You hear? Okay. So, but that's talking about over here where there's the mitzvah of tzedakah. And it's after where there's the mitzvah of tzedakah. I got a hungry guy, and he needs to eat, you can give him, even though he won't make a bracha. Okay? But what about a guy who's not hungry? And you bring him into your home, the guy, you know, your first cousin. So are you allowed to go ahead and feed him? He's not going to make brachas. He's not hungry. It's not a stalker case. Right? So there is a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, which is brought down over here on page 7. Rav Shlomo Zalman says a tremendous kiddush. He had in the first part over here, and Rav Shlomo Zalman says that in a situation, he says over here like this, that even though mitzad adin, you're not allowed to give someone food if you know he's not going to wash his hands, he's not going to make a bracha. And therefore he says like this, if you should try to say to him in a very respectable way, come, let's wash, and you make the bracha out loud, and then you sit down, and you say in a nice way, you know, let's make a bracha, okay? So that's what you should try to do. Avada, try to do it. I remember, this is Eretz Yisrael, this is 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when we would have an electrician that would come into the house. So if the guy was a Sephardi, you know, even though he came in without a yarmulke and anything, but, you know, you say, oh, bakashai, here, have some mayim. Let's make a bracha. Sometimes he would take out a yarmulke from his pocket and make a bracha, mamish, you know, shen yichu kuchurichu. Or even if he didn't take a yarmulke from his bracha, but, you know, his father have a mother, you know. They okay, king bracha, king. I need zocher. Asabishuli, hayarav be. Asabishuli, hayarav be. Iraq, you know. But you have these Ashkenazi Jews, you know. And you tell this guy to make a bracha. You tell your second cousin, Ashkenazi Jew, who was brought up in Shomer Tzair, you know, Rabbonim or whatever it is, you know. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if the person is going to take it as an insult that you tell him to make a bracha, oh, tell him to make a bracha, you know, he's going to take it as an insult. It could bring him to anger. In other words, you're not going to give him the water unless he makes the bracha. That's what we're talking about, right? You know, you want your glass of water, make your bracha, right? He's going to get very upset with this. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you don't have to, it's not lifnei yivel esitin mikshol. Why? Because if you're going to hold back from him, giving him a glass of water, because he's not making a bracha, then you're going to bring a bigger mikshol. You're going to bring a bigger stumbling block. You're going to make this person to hate Torah and mitzvahs. The whole point over here is don't cause a stumbling block on this guy. Don't put a guy in a situation where he doesn't make a bracha. But now that you go ahead and you insist that he makes a bracha or else he can't have the water, so now you're going to make a bigger mikshol that you're going to bring him to hate Torah and mitzvahs. So you are exchanging one mikshol for another mikshol. And therefore you shouldn't do it. So in such a circumstance, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, in this situation, you can, even if it's not tzedakah, be mechabe the person and don't insist that he make a bracha. So you have to weigh up the situation in these kinds of situations. There's a tshuva I have over here also from the Shevet Levi and Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlita, who also basically come out, want to try definitely to make sure that people will make a bracha, but if it's not shayach, then it's possible to go ahead and to do it. Regarding the question of driving, I know now time is over, regarding the question of driving on Shabbos. Can you invite people over that are going to drive on Shabbos? So this is a big inyan. I'll tell you, Maisa Shahoyo Iti, and this is how I generally have instructed people, but sometimes we could maybe rely on some other opinion as well. Before I came over here, before I came to Johannesburg, so I figured that this is going to be a question that's going to come up with people inviting people over, myself included, inviting people over who are not keeping Shabbos. Can one invite them over? And we know that they're going to drive on Shabbos. So I went to Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, Shlomo Zalman, who did have a little kesher with during the years, and I asked him this shayla. So Shlomo Zalman said to me that he holds like this, he holds that you invite, if it's for a kiruv purpose, if it's for a kiruv purpose, you want to be makar of the person's going to have a Shabbos by you, they'll see what a Shabbos is, if it sparks interest in them, so then you just have to tell them they could stay over by you for Shabbos. Shlomo Zalman said, you tell them that if you'd like, you could stay over by me for Shabbos, and then that's sufficient. As long as you give them the opportunity to stay over for Shabbos, so then it is permitted to go ahead and invite them, even though you know that they're going to drive. And even if you, so that's what you can do. Okay, fine. I have this psak myself, Ferish from Shlomo Zalman, and therefore Paisek Hador, and therefore that's the way very often people would invite people over. And they knew that they were not going to stay over. There was no half a minute that they were going to stay over. And people were asking me again, I know they're not going to stay over. Is this enough, you know? So I said, this is what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. 2 years later, I think it was 2 years later, I went into Rav Shlomo Zalman. 2 years later. And I said to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I asked Rav Shlomo Zalman the question, you know, but people know for sure. People know for sure that they're not going to stay. Is it permitted to invite them? So he said to me, this was 2 years later, Ani amarti lecha. I'm like, you know. Yeah, I told you. He's like, we just spoke about it yesterday, you know? That's a good question, huh? My shows are you. Ani amarti lecha. I told you, you know, you tell them. And it's enough. That's a psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman. There are some other. Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlomo was here by us many years ago, and he once came. We had a yeshiva. The old days, we have a yeshiva now. We had also a yeshiva, and he once came on. We had a question and answers session with him, and we asked him this question. And Rav Moshe was very mekel. Rav Moshe has a shame of being a machmir, but Rav Moshe said if it's for kiruv, so therefore it's not lefnei yiruv leisipei mitzvah, because if it's for kiruv purposes, and especially if these people that you know they're going to stay home. And at home, they're going to be mechallel Shabbos so many times. So when you invite them over, they're going to be less chillul Shabbos. So he went even further and was more lenient regarding this. But this is if you're inviting people for kiruv. Okay? So this is an area which I think, you know, you have to discuss it. It's important if you have the question to discuss it with a rav. You have to understand what the background is, what's all the background. And but the basic psak that I usually go with is with Shlomo Zalman's psak. If it's for kiruv purposes, so then one could invite, as long as you give them an opportunity to stay. But sometimes there are different circumstances that could make a difference. So people should ask a shaila when it comes to this. Okay, we've touched upon the area of Tin Shinishba, kiruv rechaykim, and. Hopefully this should be a catalyst that we should all try, each and every single one of us in our own way, to try to be Makar Yidden. We have to also know the boundaries as well, which is another area as well. Okay, I've gone over time, and a big Asher Kerev to everyone.
So I know the web.